You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Everybody, I'm Jamie Jennings from Norman, Oklahoma, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, October 6th. And it's cool. This is a special one-on-one episode brought to you today by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse people. Well, truth be told, Glenn and I are both off this week. Glenn is visiting Ashley in New Mexico for the big balloon fest, and I'm currently doing my Monty Roberts intro clinic. I'm teaching it at the farm. So we have a special week of shows for you. So I've pre-recorded some one-on-one episodes with some of my favorite people, and you all know about Horse and Hound Rescue Foundation, so I would like to welcome Nelda Kettles to the show. I'm so pleased to be sitting down with my dear friend Nelda Kettles. She is the owner and founder, along with her husband Larry, of Horse and Hound Rescue Foundation, who I've been lucky enough to have a relationship with since 2019. Can you believe it's been that long?
Oh my goodness. No.
Well, actually, 2018, because I adopted my first horse from you, lost my way, Groot, as we call him, and he was my makeover horse in 2019. So actually, it's been 2018. And Jesus, Nelda, the horse just keeps coming back.
I was just thinking that. He keeps popping back like a bad penny, doesn't he?
Four times now. This is time number four he's been back here. So yeah, he's like a bad penny. He just I can't figure out something for him, but I guess he just likes it here. It's all your fault.
Right.
Thank you very much.
And he was incredibly lucky that you chose him. Absolutely.
Oh gosh, I remember that first time I went out there. So I come out to Horse and Hound, and I don't know anybody in Oklahoma, but somebody on Facebook had mentioned your rescue. And I remember calling you and saying, I'm looking for a horse. I'm looking for something around 16 hands, under 10 years of age. And I didn't even really have a goal for the makeover at that point. And I said, I want it sound. I want it to be gelding. I want it to be, you know, like I gave you like three or four parameters. And do you remember what you said to me?
No.
You said, oh girl, you're going to be a kid in a candy store out here.
Well, this is true. I do get calls of people wanting a 14 or a 15 hand horse. And I say, this is not the place. This is absolutely not the place. Thoroughbreds do not tend to be that small. So yes, when I get somebody actually looking for the correct size, makes me very happy. Yes.
Yeah, I was like 16 to 18. I don't care. I don't care how tall. I don't really care how old. I just want it to be able to event. And so we ended up getting Baby Groot, as we called him then. And, you know, it's kind of been going on ever since. So one of the things I wanted to ask you is, you know, when I came out there and tried him out, I put probably five or six horses in the round pen and moved them around a little bit. And I think you were talking to my husband at this point, and he mentioned something about Monty Roberts. And of course you were like, I love Monty Roberts. And so how did it morph into us going, and I'm going to get to the basics, but how did you choose me to become a satellite trainer for you?
Well, it's kind of a no-brainer. You know, your background, your empathy with the horses, the fact that you knew how to move the horse, you knew what to look for in the horse, and simply your relationship with the horses, that's very easy to see. And that is probably one of the best decisions I've ever made for Horse and Hound, is to have you as the trainer of these horses, because they deserve that second chance. And that second chance depends probably 90% on the training that they receive. If you adopt a horse out to somebody, and not that you are training a finished product at all, but giving them the basic beginnings to be whatever that adopter is looking for. And if that beginning isn't there, then that horse most likely is not going to work out for what the person is looking for and is likely to come back to horse and hound, because the whole idea is to fit the adopter and the horse. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what that horse wants to be until you have somebody working with that horse that can give me a good idea and give the adopter an idea of what this horse wants to be.
Well, that's a nice compliment, that, because I know you've made a lot of decisions with horse and hound. So let's back up a little bit. Like, what is your origin story? Where did you grow up, and did you have horses growing up?
Absolutely not. City girl, grew up in Oklahoma, but city girl didn't, you know, of course had the little girl love of horses and the insurance agency after I graduated from college. And I was in Kansas City and working for a large insurance agency, and that's where I met Larry. But the love had always been there. And after Larry and I got married, I don't know, out of the blue, we decided to get a quarter horse, running horse, and we ran quarter horses for a while, and then morphed into the thoroughbred. And then we gave up insurance and came to Oklahoma and started breeding thoroughbred racehorses and running at Remington Park.
Oh my gosh. So you were just some city girl, and this city boy comes in, swaggers up, you know, he starts sweet talking you.
You fall. That's absolutely for me. The way you get into thoroughbred racehorses, right?
But he's such a sweet man, and I could see him having a little bit of a silver tongue and sweet talking you. And then you give
up. Oh yes. Oh yes.
You moved to Oklahoma and you started, I mean, you kind of went from 0 to 100.
Yes, yes. You might as well jump in with both feet and go for it, right? At one time, we stood and had about 30 brood mares. So in that way, I was ready for having the 30 and 40 horses in the rescue all the time. So I knew that I would never have a minute to myself, and the life would be dedicated to the fantastic thoroughbred racehorse.
So you had a breeding operation and you stood stallions, and then you race horses. And at one point you decided that you were done with that. And then you decide to talk to us about the kind of the end and then of the racing and breeding and then the transformation into the rescue.
Well, unfortunately, Larry's health made the decision of stopping breeding and running. He just started having some health issues. So we decided to end the breeding operation and the running operation. And actually, we were asked by several of our friends, trainers and owners at the track to go into the rescue situation, because they wanted an option, because there really wasn't much of an option in Oklahoma for the horses running well enough to keep in training, or that were injured enough that they couldn't go on. So Larry and I decided to create Horse and Hound Rescue in 2016. And that's how it happened. And I had no idea what I was jumping into. but it's incredibly fulfilling. You know, these horses give their all on the track, and when their all isn't enough, or like I said, or if they have an injury or something like that, then they deserve the second chance to go into another career that they deserve and that they can excel at.
So how many horses did you have when you were doing the breeding? Kind of like, I mean, I know it's a floating number, but how 20, 40, 60, 100, what did you have?
Probably about, when we had the 4 stallions, probably about 25 brood mares.
Okay, so I'm trying to piece this together. So Larry's health declines and he can no longer work with the horses. So then you double that number and you're doing all the work.
I didn't say I was smart, did I?
It's true. It's true. So Nelda, you not only have all these thoroughbreds, you have around 40 thoroughbreds at any given time, plus or minus, usually plus plus. And then you decided to start a senior dog rescue sanctuary. How did that happen?
Well, unfortunately, Oklahoma, like several states, has a bad situation for senior dogs. The dogs I take in, usually their owner has passed away or had to go into an assisted living situation, and the rest of the family just isn't set up to take that dog in. And animal control, if you take a senior dog into animal control, they are not considered adoptable. They are simply put to sleep. And that's not fair to that dog that has only known love all its life. And we're situated out here on 50 acres. So we just decided that we would help as many of the old dogs that we could and let them live their life out here with us. And it's great for making thoroughbreds dog broke. Nobody leaves here that isn't dog broke.
That's very true. I've not had one that has been even afraid of a chicken. They don't care at all because, like you said, they're used to it. So you've got, I always describe driving into Horse and Hound is like you pull in and it's like the island of misfit toys comes running up to you. There's like three-legged dogs, one-eyed dogs, you know, they came hobbling up and some of them are, I mean, they're so exuberant and they just love life that they have. And then I remember asking you one time, I'm like, how come there's all these dogs loose running around and there's all those dogs that are in that, you know, I mean, it's like in a paddock that's fenced off. And your answer was, well, those are the blind ones. I'm like, oh my God.
And the deaf ones, right. And the deaf ones, because the deaf ones don't know. People are fantastic about when they do come in, they are met with our welcoming committee. So, of course, the sensors on the cars and trucks go off like crazy. And people are very good at being cautious about letting the dogs know that they're going. But the blind ones and the deaf ones can't get out of the way. So they do have to stay up.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, what a heart to open your home to, I mean, all these dogs. So I guess, wait, before I get to my next question, we have to break for a commercial and we'll be right back.
Worm Flooring now does your trailer roof. Leaky roofs are a common problem in horse trailers and RVs. Worm Flooring's revolutionary silicone-based coating creates a barrier against the heat and wet. First, it seals your roof to stop leaks before they start. Second, it reflects back nearly 90% of those nasty UV rays, keeping your trailer or barn up to 60 degrees cooler on a blistering day. So ditch the duct tape and buckets. Invest in a long-lasting peace of mind with Seal and Chill. It's applied by pros for a flawless finish and is only $7.50 per square foot. That's a steal for a cooler, drier, happier trailer or RV, which means happier horses and happier people. Head over to wormflooring.com now to find a dealer near you. That's WERMflooring.com.
Well, speaking of all of these dogs and all of these horses, what do you think is your most favorite part of having all of these? Let's start with horses. What's the best part of having all these horses?
Well, the best part, of course, is we are about to enter our 10th year, and we are about 20 horses away from adopting out 600 horses. And that makes us feel fantastic that we have been a small part of finding a good home for 600 horses that otherwise might not have had that opportunity to go on and do great things. They've done everything from therapy horses with a ministry to event horses, jumpers, just a family loved pet. And in fact, the 250th anniversary of the Army, where they had the parade in Washington, D.C., the Fort Sill Army, two of the swing horses pulling the caisson were horse and hound adoptees.
You're kidding me. That's amazing.
And what is even more amazing about that is a horse called Morse Code had been ruled off a track. His behavior was just so bad. He came out here a basket case, and he is now one of those swing horses, you know, cannons going off around him, and, you know, an entirely new horse. So that makes us incredibly happy.
I know. I remember Morse Code. He came here to get some of that foundation mm-hmm. work we were talking about. And
yes.
Honor code, baby. Yeah. Uh-huh. So you have all the, that's amazing because people say thoroughbreds, you can't do that with them. You simply can't. And here they are, you know, representing the army. It's just unbelievable. So with yeah. that being said, you have all these wonderful things. What is the most challenging part of having 40 plus thoroughbreds on in your yard?
Well, I think, of course, the worst part is the ones that come in with injuries that just will never allow them to go on. So basically, you know, we try and they simply become companion horses, and just again like the dogs live out their lives here. But it's incredibly sad that a 4 or 5 year old horse is at that point where he doesn't have a second chance. That's the sad part.
Well, the second chance is unbelievable. People like you have I know it's called the backfield, and you put them out in the backfield and they get right. to live in a herd of other horses. And that's a better life than honestly, I always say it like, ends going to end up on a truck to Mexico, and they are not going to yeah. end up on a truck to Mexico if they go through horse and hound. And that is one of my favorite parts and probably one of the most encouraging things I can tell people when they're interested in adopting is, you know, once they have that horse and hound kind of stamp on their passport, they're good for life. Like, they can right. come back. You're like me with Groot. I mean, my God, yes. we'll just keep taking them back.
Yes, absolutely. If you come to Horse and Hound as a horse, and if you're adopted and the adoption doesn't work out, or if anything happens, the horse always can come back to Horse and Hound, no matter what the reason.
Yeah, and hopefully they come back in good shape. But I know yeah. sometimes they don't, and then you have to work with them all over again, you know, and that's sadly yeah. part of it. You just can't control every
you,
second.
You do
of
get
every...
a few of those return customers, don't you?
Yeah.
You've worked with a few several times.
It's true. We got this one back. We need you to fix him again.
Yeah, right, okay. right.
Send him on.
So you got it.
With all the dogs, what plus and minuses of having all these dogs? The best and worst parts.
The huge con is that you have no time of your own. The horses and the dogs are a 24/7 situation, and the time is simply taken by them. So if you're looking for any personal life, don't run the rescue like I do, because it's just too much at times.
We always joke, and we've gone through a whole thing with our listeners of trying to photograph when you're sitting in the bathroom and there's like five faces staring at you.
Yes.
When you go to sit down in the bathroom, there are like 25 dogs staring at you.
It's about that bad. And the joke around here is that you cannot take a picture of a horse without three dogs photobombing at least.
But it's got to be so rewarding. Speaking of the pluses, it's got to be so rewarding to have these guys. Heartbreaking to lose them because they do come as
that,
seniors.
Right.
But
yeah, that's the tough part. But like I said, most of them have been loved all their lives, and that loyalty is for to you, and there's nothing better.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you've been coming along with this rescue, you started forever ago, and as you've gone along, I feel like you keep adding accreditations that you have, like different. Talk about what accreditations you have, how important they are, and what they've meant to you.
Well, of course, Thoroughbred Aftercare Association is great. There's a lot of paperwork, and they do a lot of inspections, which I think is absolutely fantastic, because if you want to be a rescue, you need to know what you're doing, and you need to be doing it right. Thoroughbred Aftercare, TAA, is fantastic in helping provide resources, in providing ideas, and if you have any issues, somebody is always there to work through the issue with you and give you support and help. ASPCA Right Horse, again, is very good on having resources on helping transport horses across the U.S. for you and helping with that. Thoroughbred Charities of America is very good. In fact, they sponsor the Retired Racehorse Project that you went to that year. And there's just a lot of organizations out there. On the bad side, of course, is all that paperwork taking up all that time. But it's good. And in fact, even Remington Park this year, we're very proud of. They finally instituted a program called Ring the Bell. And after a horse wins a race, the owner, trainer, or jockey can ring the bell in the winner's circle. And that when they ring the bell, they promise to donate a certain amount to aftercare, which is the first year they have done this. And so far, it's fantastic. We're getting about, I think about 70% of the people that win a race are ringing the bell. So that's going to be great.
Well, we're going to up that number, because I'm going to start standing right outside the winner's circle at Remington. I'm going to kick them in the shins if they don't ring it.
Until there you go. I like that.
Turn around, get back in there and ring that.
Yes. Yes, it's fantastic. So you know, like you said, that there is a lot of support, which is greatly needed, you know.
I think that, you know, looking back from my childhood with racehorses until now, like, what a change in the world for these horses.
It is very good that there are these organizations and there are these groups and there is that support, because it's always been greatly needed and now it's out there, which is fantastic.
So speaking of Remington, Remington is in full swing. They just opened last week, and I know that typically Remington season can get pretty busy for you. So we'll talk about that in a second. But when you think back, you know, are you like, okay, it's coming up on August. Are you really trying to get a horses adopted out so you have spaces, or do you have to turn horses away? How does that work?
You know, actually, August is usually a bad month for us getting adopted horses out, because it's hot, it's miserable, everybody is suffering from the weather. But we have had a great month. We've adopted out 6 horses so far this month, which is great. But yes, we do know that August is when Remington gears up, and we know that we're going to start getting a bunch of horses in. And I have the cutest little baby for you. He is in rehab. It'll be a while, but he's a 3-year-old and he is 17 too.
Oh, why is that a baby for me? You know, I'm 5'2".
He's just going so tiny, you know. He's so tiny. And I don't think your mounting block is not going to be high enough. You're going to need a ladder, because you are rather height and not advantaged. And he is already 17 too. So
that's amazing.
It's going to be a problem.
Right? 3 years old. Oh my gosh. Well, that's why we have Farm Girl. I have a new assistant. She's brave and young and dumb. So it's perfect.
Good.
Hey, I do want to take, we have to take another break for a commercial, and then we're going to come right back.
As horse owners, we spend a lot of time on the road. Let US Rider help keep you covered. Our equestrian motor plan offers fast, reliable, nationwide service from our highly trained roadside assistance team. 24/7 coverage for both you and your horse. Membership includes horse trailer servicing, towing, flat tire repair, even on dual wheels, battery assistance, and lockout service on any vehicle in your plan. We also have your equine companions covered with referrals for emergency vet services, farrier referrals, and emergency stabling assistance. Get peace of mind on the road for you and your horse. Join U.S. Rider today.
So as we were talking before, there's a three-year-old 17 two-hand monster that is waiting for you, listeners, to adopt. What's the horse's name?
His name is Okie Joker.
And it's an Okie, yeah. Too. Come on.
Well, actually, this is not one of those. Okie is now being used by a lot of owners and trainers in their names, so he isn't a Richter horse, but he will be a while because he does have a tendon, so he'll be in rehab for several months before he's ready for you.
Well, and that's my next question is, when a horse comes to you off the track, tell everybody kind of what the first day to adoption day kind of looks like. What's a time in the life of a thoroughbred at Horse and Hound?
Okay, when the horse is accepted into the program, the trainer will tell us if the horse has any issues. If the horse is simply slow, his progress is going to be a lot faster through the program than if the horse has like a tendon or a knee or any sort of injury. They are initially allowed downtime to kind of just forget their routine of going to the track every day and running. So we just give them downtime. And of course, any horse is an individual. So with some, it can be a matter of weeks. Some, it might be a month, might be 2 months. And then we go from that downtime to ground manners. The biggest thing on a thoroughbred racehorse that people don't comprehend is standing still to be mounted. They're just not taught that. You know, a jockey, an exercise rider is thrown up on the back of the horse. The horse isn't standing still. So we work on their ground manners a bit. And then I call Jamie and say, you know, will you be around? Are you ready for another one? And they go to you. And of course, that time frame, again, is entirely dependent upon the horse as to how long they stay with you.
It's true. Some stay for, you know, I mean, heck, some of them, one has been adopted the same day it came to me because I posted a pretty face picture, you know, so you never know what's going to resonate with people. It's either, I find that they get adopted from my house when I do one of two things. Either I post a really pretty face picture and somebody falls in love with the horse's face, or I've gone through all the training and I'm cantering it around in the arena. It's like the second somebody can see it cantering politely, then it gets adopted as well. So that is definitely the two times I think. So when they've gone through all this downtime, and then they've gone to either me, or I know you have some amazing volunteers there. When somebody puts in an application, what then starts?
Well, the application, of course, asks for references. We want to know that the person knows what they're getting into. Adopting a horse is not cheap. You have to have the resources to care for a horse. You have to know. We adopt to a few first-time horse people, but very few. Because honestly, in my opinion, if you're getting a first-time horse, an off-track thoroughbred isn't one that you want. Now, it's not that they are higher or anything else. They just tend to be to need a little more care than
less,
like,
educated,
you know,
horses and less educated people. What do they say? Green on green makes black and blue, you know? So
yes,
definitely.
Right.
Yeah. And I do love that has been kind of your stance this whole time, is like, no, this is not the horse for you. Because like you said, and we've talked about before, is you get these horses adopted out, and if they don't go to the right person, they're going to come back, and they're going to come back farther behind than they were when they left, you know? So it's important. It's not just about pushing a horse on people. And when people come out here, it's really strange for them if they've been horse shopping. I'm not pushing this horse on them. I'm going to tell you with integrity everything that I know about this horse, which is what you're going to tell everybody about this horse. And then they can come and see if it's going to be a fit or not. And I would like to take this moment to thank all of the amazing listeners of this podcast who have not only just donated, or I think a couple of winters ago, it was like crazy cold and everybody mailed you blankets for the horses.
Yes.
But also the people that have adopted.
Right. And like you said, if it isn't a good fit, we will tell them. We don't think this will be a good fit. You know, you might look at a different horse or wait and see if we have a different horse or go to another rescue, because we don't want to set that person back in their look for a horse, and we certainly don't want to set that horse back. And it's just, you know, simply education. And yes, your people have been great. Your listeners have been fantastic. We got lots of blankets, and that was crazy cold, and I don't even like to think about that winter. Your listeners have been fantastic in donating blankets, in donating cash, and in adopting horses. They made up a huge portion of that 600 that we are getting close to.
I told Nelda that you guys, what we needed to do was to get a map of the U.S. and like pushpin map, so we can put pushpins where all the horses have gone. Because through just the people listening, we've sent horses to California, Rhode Island, Florida, Illinois, Idaho. I mean, there's so many horses that come to mind that have left here. What
can you Montana, Colorado, Texas, of course. I don't think there are a whole lot of states that we haven't sent horses to, and it is amazing. But, you know, you guys are great. What can I say?
Well, you are kind of known for having a volunteer-only staff, which is helmed by you, of course, because you're never not doing something with a dog or a horse. What are some of the biggest challenges and rewards of running an organization that relies only on volunteers?
The pluses is that these people really want to be here. It's not that they are getting any financial gain, because they're not. They are here because they love the animal and they want to help the animal. And they are a dedicated, fantastic group of people. The cons, of course, are those silly people have to have a job to make a living. So we kind of have to work around their schedules, you know. So it's definitely, that just depends on when they're not working in their real job to come out here.
So, darn people, how dare they have, work for a living? Crazy. So what are some of the now that Remington is in, are you getting inundated with horses needing homes?
Yes. Yes. We've taken in, since the meet started, like you said, just about a week and a half ago, we have taken in 8.
Oh my gosh.
it's going to be, and like I said, the beginning of the meet is when the trainers are kind of finding out that this horse doesn't want to be a racehorse, this horse isn't fast enough to be a racehorse, or they come up with the injuries. So we've gotten that initial input. Hopefully it'll slow down a little bit, but like I said, we were lucky enough in August so far to have adopted out 6. So knock on wood that it keeps kind of leveling out like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know if anybody knows this, but horses that come off the racetrack that then just get downtime, they eat a lot. Oh my God.
Oh, yes.
A lot. I know we've talked about this before, but I don't really understand what happens. Every once in a while, like every week, you have to go to the airport to pick up food. What does that mean?
Oh, that's for the dogs. There is a great group called Greater Goods Charities. And they get, like, if you get a shipment from Chewy and you don't like what you got, or if it was hurt and if it, you know, a bag was torn or something in transit, then you send it back to Chewy. Chewy donates all that to Greater Goods. And if a dog food happens to have, something mislabeled or something, then that's where we get Greater Goods tells us they have such and such, and we only have to pay shipping for it. So that's great. So we go down and get like a pallet or a ton of dog food, and we only have to pay like, a few hundred dollars, whereas you would pay a lot more for that. But of course, it just depends on the trucks that they do get from Chewy or from Purina or from whatever. But yes, we also have to drive down by the airport to pick it up. But it's a great program.
I always wondered why you had to go to the airport to get dog food.
Yeah, that's why. That's why you have to go there. And occasionally, Chewy also does horse supplements and, stuff like that. So we get a little horse stuff from them, not a whole lot, but I'm very happy when we get the horse supplements from them.
Well, I will tell you that Chewy is a sponsor, actually. So we are super thrilled to hear about that. And Purina is a sponsor, too. So what's really fantastic is you've got all of that happening. And you know what? Like it was like the first time when I got a horse from you, I adopted Groot or Drax or something. And I said, well, what does it eat? And you said, anything. it's anything, because they get what is there. And my local feed store, oh my God, Nelda, I have had words with these people 6,000 times. They have a whole section of food that has ripped bags, and they offered it 10% off. And I'm like, yeah. Clearly nobody's going to buy for just the measly, $1.50 off of a bag discount food. I'm like, let me take it. And I'm heading to the rescue now. Let me take it. And they will not give it to me. And how cool it is that Chewy is like, they donate it. That's fantastic. Or they give it at a super reduced rate. I will tell you that 10%, I was like, there's nobody that buys that. And they were like, we sell it as soon as it gets in here. I'm like, no way.
I have seen that in stores, and it amazes me too. Yeah. And we are so thankful to people like Purina and Chewy that donate it. And Greater Good ships in that food. And there is no way I could feed 50 dogs and pay retail for dog food. It's just anybody that buys dog food knows how outrageous it is, along with horse feed also.
Yeah, and horse feed for racehorses is even extra. So
yes, you do have to feed them a bunch.
Before we get to wrap this up here, what is if you are thinking of in the horse world, a super successful, okay, I had that Pony Taco Tuesday, and I think that someday when I die and I go wherever I'm going to go, that's what somebody's going to talk to me about. Be like, you know what? You did good. Cause I could not be prouder of Taco Tuesday and where he ended up. And it's like one of those things, when I go to heaven, that's what they're going to talk to me about. What do you think that they're going to talk to you about when you go to heaven?
I think maybe the horses that we have sent to be therapy horses, we donate. Well, in fact, we adopted one 17-hand thoroughbred to a lovely family in Stillwater. Their child was like 25, and he's autistic and Down syndrome, nonverbal. And we put him in the round pen with this horse, and he relaxed, and we put him on top of this horse, and it was an instant bond. He was calm. His mother led him around on the horse, and they had the horse for, I'm going to say, like 8 or 9 years, and the horse did have an issue and pass away. But that was the best fit I think I have ever been part of.
Wow. Horses read intention. You can't argue with that, especially when you hear stories like that.
Right. Oh. It was just so immediate. And, you're looking at this big 17-hand horse and this, like I said, Down syndrome and autistic, and they just clicked. And his mother says, you know, he took care of that horse. He went out every morning and he fed him. And that's, you know, that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So 50 dogs, 40 horses, more coming in every day. I'm assuming you could use some help. And I couldn't have got you to agree to this if I didn't, at least try to get people to help you more. So if people listen to this and they're like, I want to adopt a horse, I want to make a donation. Again, you guys, when just backing up a little bit, when we talked about those accredited organizations, it's basically like a giant umbrella that they have. And Nelda has chosen to get under this umbrella. And when you're under that umbrella, there's a whole lot of things that have to happen for you to be allowed in there. So when you are looking at a rescue, and sometimes we have to do finger quote rescue, because sometimes you go to a rescue and you're like, oh my God, if this is the rescue, where the hell were they? Cause this is terrible. You know, it's not like that at Horse and Hound, and it's not like this under at these blanketed organizations through the accreditations that she has to get. There are a lot of work. And I mean, I've had my house inspected and my farm inspected just because I'm associated with them. So it's a lot of work. So when you are looking to work with an organization, do look for those accreditations, because they matter, because they're hard work, and you can't just put up a sign and be a rescue and be accredited with these. So all that being said, Nelda and Horse and Hound Rescue Foundation has all of those accreditations. So your money is well spent if you do want to make a donation, or if they want to look at adoptable horses. Nelda, where can they go?
You can always go to our website, which is www.horseandhoundrescue.com. And our horses are also listed under the ASPCA, the right horse. We're listed on there. And that's the easiest way to see the pictures of the horses and a little bit about them. And then just, you know, contact us. And we love to talk about our horses.
Yes, call me. I'll talk to you all of you about Sharp Rocket, who is apparently going to live here forever as he completes his post-kissing spine rehab. Oh my gosh, Nelda, this has been so much fun watching him go from stumbling over a pole on the ground to, I don't know if you saw the video I posted just a couple of days ago, and he's like gracefully skipping over it. He now sees me bring that yellow pulse machine out and starts dancing in the cross ties. He gets so excited. I pulsed him last night. I quit posting pictures because it's just the same thing over and over again. It's like pulse, red light, pull work, pull, you know, until tomorrow he starts hill work. You know, we're going to start doing a little bit of that, but it has been super rewarding to see him. And I know, if you guys don't remember, Nelda got that grant because of this podcast to get Sharp Rocket surgery. So what was that one again?
It was Homes for Horses and Zoetis, and that, in fact, you were the one that had told me about it, and they were very easy to work with and paid for his surgery, and now that he's in rehab, he is able to live up to his potential because he is a super nice horse, and otherwise he would be in that companion pasture living out his life as a companion horse, and he is so much more than that.
He is. He's a character. And so he actually, I think I'll be able to start him under saddle in about a week and a half, just lightly, slowly. But it has been really rewarding to work with him. And he's definitely a character, and a little bit of a butthead around poor little Butters. He thinks that Butters is just trouble. Just get him away from me. I don't like that little baby horse. It's a weird color.
So, that's not a thoroughbred, right?
No, that's not a thoroughbred. Get that thing away. Comes in a wrong color. What is your PayPal? Because if anybody's listening and they're like, don't have time to go to the website, PayPal is a great way to send in a donation. It is 501c3. Everything is tax deductible. And I think it's, what is it at? What's your PayPal? Do you remember?
Not really. All I know is that it's the donate button on the website. So you have to go to the website. I really don't know, but it is the donate button on the
horse. Yeah. Horse and Hound Rescue. And I always post all the horses that I'm working with as well on my Flyover Farm Facebook page. So check that out. And Nelda, is there anything you would like to leave with us?
Just a big thank you for all that you do. You know, you have done a great job in educating people and in spreading the word of the great horses that are out there that just need a little help.
So one more thing, what is the future of Horse and Hound?
Well, luckily we have my Larry's son and daughter-in-law are going to take over Horse and Hound when I finally give up the ghost. And Barb has been with the Georgia Humane Department for years, and Jay, Larry's son, was a vet tech, so they are maybe not as crazy about rescue as I am, but they are well equipped to carry forward.
Oh, that's fantastic news.
Yes.
Well, it might be, because Chad's like, you know, if this turnpike comes through here, we're going to have to move. We need to look at somewhere. Where do you want to go? And I'm like, I'm not leaving until Horse and Hound is done. I'm like, I'm seeing this one out.
That turnpike is crazy, definitely. But but yeah, I feel good that there is a backup, that if anything, you know, life is never a guarantee, right? So I'm so glad that there is a backup, that if anything, you know, would happen, that it is taken care of.
You're leaving a legacy, and you didn't start out crazy in horse rescue too. So maybe they'll get the bug and march forward and make it even bigger. So
thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on horseandhoundrescue.com. Check him out on Right Horse, on Facebook, all of the things. And thanks to all the listeners. We have listeners of Volunteer For You that listen now. We have owners of racehorses that people have gotten from listening to the podcast, and people that have generously donated, and all of that is appreciated by so many people and so many animals. And Nelda, thank you for you and Larry opening up your house and your hearts to all of these amazing animals. I always say that, you know, if it weren't for racing, I wouldn't have had such nice horses. So let's keep taking care of them. Well, thanks, Nelda, for joining us. And you guys stay tuned this week, as Wednesday and Friday, we will be back with more one-on-one. Tomorrow is the American Horse Council episode. Thursday is the NRHA. Everybody have a great day. Spay, neuter, and geld.